You're watching Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mir. And with us in the studio is Matthew Yates from Seven Investment Management. Matthew, good to have you with us. So we're going to talk about inflation. So what do you think is behind the rise in this?
Well, I think the story around inflation is so interesting because I always like to compare to where we were just 1 year ago and kind of approaching the depths of kind of our February, January, Q1 kind of sell-off. And the story that was on everyone's mind, rather than inflation, was deflation or disinflation. You know, this idea that is the US market heading into a recession? And much of that really was driven by what we know are short-term, highly kind of impactful inflation drivers, i.e. the energy price. But really what that belied, I suppose, was the underlying level of inflation. So if you looked at core inflation, even at the depths of kind of Q1, stripping out inflation and food prices, you had a robust level of inflation that throughout 2016, even before Trump, which was really the catalyst, I think, for market participants to kind of refocus back on the inflation story, that was trending above 2%. So that was above 2.2% was kind of the average kind of for the latter half of 2016. And from what was a very US-centric story, I suppose, originally, now even the likes of Europe, where inflation has been absent for so long, is even starting to see the green shoots of inflation too. If you look at the German inflation number yesterday, I think it was reported yesterday, you had inflation there really coming through. And once again, not just driven by kind of these transient energy factors and currency kind of moving off on the base effects, it was underlying core inflation in these markets, which poses the interesting point, and me and Zach were talking about this beforehand, which is what does that mean for interest rates? You know, people are talking about the end of the, you know, the bond market bubble, as some people would like to call it, and that needs a catalyst. Just as inflation had the catalyst from some of these political movements at the end of last year in the US specifically, now the bond market and the impact on bond markets of this rising inflation story is almost one for one. And so if we think about what's been driving that, it's really got to be inflation. Inflation has been the key metric that's ticked up, and as a result, central bank market expectations, you know, they're tied.
But are we heading for a car crash in the sense that the central banks and governments are up to the eyeballs in debt, so they can't really raise interest rates because they'll have to pay more themselves? I mean, the UK is losing, you know, 50 million a second or something like that. National debt is 2 trillion. They can't really raise rates either. So it's a big problem.
I think potentially one of the biggest problems from kind of a, you know, financial market perspective is if you're constructing a portfolio and you're relying on this negative correlation of equities and bonds, that's almost been enforced through central bank action over the last 5 years. Every time there was a crisis, it would be kind of a withdrawal of, you know, hawkish sentiment, you know, do whatever it takes, we're here to help. Really, those were central banks that were looking at an economy where inflation was heavily subdued versus long-term averages, where there wasn't kind of this trade-off for central bankers. Now, if a central banker wants to help the economy and help kind of financial markets out in a period of economic stress, they have to do so in the face of rising inflationary pressures. If we talk about, we talked about kind of just the core level, so kind of the underlying inflation, and then with these catalysts of Trump, I think Trump, they've said and they've looked at it, and if just a 10% increase in tariffs, which I suppose is at the low end of what Trump would really like to get done, pushes US inflation up by kind of 50 to 60 basis points, that's going to result in a Fed that has to rise rates. So they've gone from kind of having an excuse to not do so in kind of the Q1 sell-offs last year, whether they're going to have to look for kind of really, it's going to be hard for them not to act, and that's really going to be painful.
Yeah, but one of the reasons we didn't have any follow-through on the global financial crisis 2008 is because interest rates were low to zero, housing market became a source of wealth, really, or the only source, of the only big source of wealth, wages are totally down.
Yeah.
How is that going to pan out now? Because if there's any pressure on the housing market, and wages are not going to go up either, because, you know, this employers have the whip hand, what's going to happen there?
Well, I think some of the kind of forward expectations for pressure, so just on wages specifically, I think you are facing labour markets that are certainly much tighter than they have been in the last 10 years. So one of kind of those fundamental drivers of higher core inflation is the expectation that having US unemployment at 4.7% is going to lead to higher kind of natural level of wages through just that tightness in the labour market. I think specifically kind of in the UK, sitting from kind of a UK perspective in the housing market, certainly something that's that the Bank of England have talked about trying to manage kind of in the aftermath of Brexit. So that cut from Carney kind of in the aftermath of Brexit, one of the clearest feed through into consumer sentiment has been its pass through mortgage rates. Mm-hmm. I think it becomes part of the balancing act that each central bank has to kind of weigh up. I think the key point is, though, that that absence of inflation is making that decision harder for central banks, and that's going to make it harder for people that are trying to take equity market exposure and hedge that risk through bonds going forward.
Mm. Matthew, thank you. Matthew Yates there from Seven Investment Management.